All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, looking at verses 27 to 36. Luke chapter 9, verses 27 to 36. And Father, we are so grateful for this time that you've given us to be here. Lord, I pray for your anointing to speak your heart to your people. Pray for a timely word, Lord, a timely word for our hearts and for our lives. Lord, let us know that you're here in our midst. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Luke 9 verses 27 to 36. The title of this message is Transformed by the Transformer. Transformed by the Transformer. Now, the Transformer movies are very popular today, where cars and trucks and other vehicles are transformed into robots that help protect the earth from other similar robots that are trying to destroy this world. Well, in these verses we're studying, we will see Jesus being transformed. And this story is commonly called the Mount of Transfiguration. And this is important for us to study because we need to be transformed as well so we can defeat the enemies in our lives, which are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's see what these verses have to say so we can see how we can be transformed as well. Look at verses 27 to 29. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Now here is Jesus taking Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, verse 29 says that he was glowing. The Greek word for glistening there is a word that means to be radiant, to shine out or flash forth as lightning. Some scholars suggest that the deity of Jesus was shining through his humanity. And this transfiguration that took place with Jesus is what I believe God originally intended for each of us, starting with Adam and Eve. We say this because they walked with God according to Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. We know from 1 John 1:5 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So as Adam and Eve walked with God, his glory or his light rubbed off on them and they were covered with this light. This is also what happened to Moses as he spent time in the presence of God according to Exodus 34 verse 29. When he came down the mountain, he was glowing by being in the presence of God. Here's the point to all of this. God wants us to experience a personal transfiguration every day. When we spend time in the presence of God in prayer and meditation of his word. When we do that, some of God is going to rub off on us. We will begin to glow by being in his presence. Now, this glow may, not always, but it may manifest itself in a smile. So often this smile is irritating to the world around us. They say things like, why are you always smiling? Or why is it that you always got that silly, cheesy grin on your face? People like this always, they look like they're posing for a toothpaste commercial. It is just the glow from being in the presence of God that so often manifests itself in a smile. Just like we can tell when you have been in the presence of God, we can also tell when you have not. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:13 that Moses put a veil on his face. Not because the glow was so bright that it was just blinding to the people, but because the glow was fading away. And we do the same thing when we have not been in the presence of God lately. We put veils over our faces, hoping that no one notices that the glow is fading away. We hide behind the veil of made-up spirituality in the form of Christian words and phrases such as, praise the Lord, God bless you, and be blessed, hoping that no one can tell that the glow of God's presence is leaving or maybe even gone. We hide behind the veil of externalism, which is doing outward religious things to appear to be spiritual or religious, but there is no heart behind it. It is just religious duty. It's just religious habit. It's just religious activity. And maybe I just described you. Have you lost your glow? Have you lost your passion for Jesus? And you have to make yourself come to church. You have to, it's a drag to serve the Lord where you used to look forward to coming to church. You used to look forward to serving the Lord. Now you're just going through the religious motion. And when you come to church or you come around Christians, you put a veil on your face, hoping like Moses that no one can see that the glow is leaving or even gone. So what happens to most people like this? Most people like you, you stop coming to church and you stop coming around Christians until the glow comes back. Then you show up. And I've seen this inconsistency in people's lives so many times. I have been here myself. When I come to church, I will put on the fake smile and say all the right religious phrases. But all the time I was saying to myself, I hope they cannot see that the glow is leaving or that it is gone. So what do we do when we find ourselves in this condition? We go back into the presence of God and meditation of His Word, and you will start to see the glow return again. In other words, we are transformed by being in His presence. See, we're either being transformed or conformed. You say, what do you mean? Well, Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Like I said, all of us are either conformers or transformers. Either you are trying to figure out what she is wearing or what he is driving or how I can fit in and be cool. This is conforming. I love the J.B. Phillips paraphrase of this verse. He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Is the world squeezing you into its mold? You said, well, how can I know? Or there's some ways that you can know whether the world is squeezing you into its mold. When you laugh at its jokes, when you're entertained by their sex movies and demon possessed movies, you can't wait for the next Who's Dragging Somebody to Hell movie come out. You can't wait for the next demon possessed and the head spinning around, something else spewing out. You can't wait for some other creature climbing up the walls and you like, oh, this is the best one yet. You look at one, you said, oh, did you see how it ended? Guess what? There's going to be a part two. You know, when you're like that, the world has squeezed you into its mold. When you're entertained by its movies and its music, when you find yourself laughing at the world's jokes and inappropriate things, but it's funny to you because the world thinks it's funny. Oh, just know. The world has squeezed you into its mold. And that's how you can tell. Oh, you can't wait for Friday because every Friday a new movie is coming out. And you just can't wait because I know it's going to be a part two or three. Or this is part four. Oh, they ought to just keep these movies coming. The world has squeezed you into its mold. Now, let me just say this. We would have loved When that new Denzel movie came out with the airplane and things, my wife, we were like, yeah, we want to see that. That's going to be a great movie. We got there, got the popcorn ready, just like you, got the drink, set it there, you know, got to have a big one because it's me and her. So, and that big old popcorn, you know, we're going to get super thirsty. So, you know, we got set it between us and looking at the previews, content smacking. 30 seconds into the movie, the nude girl up front, me and my wife got up, got to go. Give us our refund. Oh, is everything all right? I said, everything's fine. Give me a refund. And we walked out. See, for many of you, you sat there. You watched it. Because you know what? The world has squeezed you into its mold. And it didn't bother you. It didn't bother you. Like, oh, it's just a few minutes. It was just nothing. Let's get to the movie. The world has just shaped you into its mold. We had to go. Whoop! out the door. Because see, here's the thing. We're not going to take God's hard-earned money and we're going to take his money and be entertained by that. We're not going to do it. My wife's not going to do it. We wait for it to come on TV so they can cut it down, slice it, dice it, cut on down. Then we can see on USA, Channel 18, we can see it when it come out on USA. You know, then we say, oh, okay, that's what the movie was about. You know, when you ask yourself these questions, you know the world has squeezed you. Oh, some of you right now, you look just like the world. Not necessarily in your outward appearance. I'm just, there's something about you that's worldly. Because the world has taken you and squeezed you into its mold. God wants us not to be conformers. He wants us to be transformers. The word transform in the Greek is metamorpho. It is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It means a change in condition. It is the process that a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. It's used a few times in the New Testament in Romans 12:2. And each of the times the story of Jesus being transfigured, like Matthew 17:2 and Mark 9:2. It is used also referring to us. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorpho, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are transformed by keeping our eyes and our mind on Jesus. Paul said, when we behold the Lord, like looking in the mirror, we are transformed, metamorpho, we are transformed into his image. My question for us today is, where are your eyes? Where are your eyes today? Because what we behold, we become like what we behold. Where are your eyes today? Seeing who you can hook up with next, then you will slowly be transformed into a player or a cougar. One to two. One to two. If your eyes are climbing up the corporate ladder or the military ranks, then you will be transformed into this image, which is a workaholic. I say this because you will not be satisfied with the present position you're in or with the rank that you're at, because you're always going to be looking for the next one and it's going to drive you crazy. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You never know what contentment is because you're always looking for the next thing, and it will drive you to be a workaholic, drive you crazy. But when our eyes are on the Lord, then you're transformed into his image and you will go into the direction he wants you to go. Keep in mind, all of us, everyone in here, we're all being transformed into someone's image. In other words, we're either conformers or we're transformers. So what happened when Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration? Look at verses 30 and 31. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Now notice that they knew who Moses and Elijah was. Now, how did they know who Moses and Elijah was? We don't read about Jesus saying, now, Peter, this is Moses. Elijah, meet James. You know, we don't read any formal introductions that took place. I believe it was just through a word of knowledge, which is knowledge that you have that cannot be obtained from books. God gives us knowledge into people's lives that there is no other way we can know unless God reveals it to us. This is why I say it is so important that we spend time with the Lord in the morning before we leave the house. As we spend time in his presence, then we'll leave with the glory of the Lord, and then God will give us insight into people's lives. And then we go to work and we see somebody, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And God says, no, something else is going on. Something else is behind that. I'm doing fine. Ask him again. Hey, how you really doing? Tears begin to flow. How did you know what was going on? By being in the presence of God, God gave you a sensitivity, a word of knowledge into people's lives. And you don't even, it's not like something somebody told you. God just gave you and just told you that something more is going on behind that smile or behind I'm doing fine. God just said, no, no, don't leave it there. Inquire a little bit more. And you'll see that something else is going on. How would you know that? God reveals it to you. God will reveal it to you. Something else I want to bring to your attention from these verses is notice how God is a forgiving God. He's a God of the second chance. Do you remember how God told Moses in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12? He says, because you got angry with the people when I was not angry with them, you misrepresented me. You will not be allowed to go into the promised land. Moses was bummed out about this. He was like, man, my goodness, I want to take him into the land. Then toward the end of his life, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 to 29, Moses just thought he would just ask one more time. He said, God, man, you showed me that promised land on Mount Nebo. I really want to go in. I really do. And God said, you can't go in. Don't talk to me anymore about it. Okay, I won't. And he wasn't allowed to go in. But once again, how our God is the God of the second chance. Because here we see Moses with Elijah in the promised land. Because God is the God of the second chance. Maybe you're here today and you have blown it like Moses because of your anger. And maybe through your anger you have lost jobs and friendships and even your marriage. God is the God of the second chance. You may not get a second chance with your family or that job, but you always will have a second chance with God. And there are times that he even gives us second chances with our spouses and with our children. God is the God of second chance. Somebody needs to hear that today. With God, there's always another chance that he gives us. He gives us. He gives you and he gives me another chance with him. So Moses and Elijah appear to talk to Jesus about his decease or his exodus is what this Greek word is translated as, his exodus that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem, according to verse 31. I love this because who is best to talk about an exodus other than Moses himself, who led an exodus out of Egypt with the Israelites? Who's best? Moses, to talk about an exodus. This is so good to know that Jesus provided us an exodus, a departure out of our sin by going to Calvary's cross. No longer do we have to remain in slavery to our sin. What are you in slavery to today? Some drug, some alcohol? You know, I'm not in slavery to those things. Well, why is it that you always got to have it? Why is it that you always got it at the end of the day to wind down, supposedly? Oh, I'm not addicted. Okay, leave it alone. Well, I don't want to leave it alone. Then you're in bondage to it. You're in bondage to it. There are some people in bondage to relationships. I talked about this first service. You didn't know you can be addicted to relationships. You always got to be in some relationship. You can't be alone for one day. I need a boyfriend. I need some woman. And you don't realize that you're addicted to relationships because you're afraid to be alone. And being alone is a dreadful thought for you. So you jump from relationship to relationship and wonder why you keep picking these jacked up guys and these women that's no good and all this sort of stuff. You're addicted to relationship. You're afraid to be alone. And being alone terrifies you. And you're reminded of this every night when you lay your head on your pillow. And you're saying, I don't want to be alone again. And let me tell you something. It's in that alone time that God speaks the clearest. Sometimes things and relationships and folks, it clogs our ears from hearing the voice of God because we're looking for the next relationship or the next hookup or the next thing or the next party or the next drink or the next drug. And we're looking for the next thing and it clogs us up from hearing God's voice. It's in isolation, those times of isolation that God speaks the clearest. When did John receive the book of Revelation? When he was exiled on the island of Patmos. When did Ezekiel receive all that God received for him when he was exiled in Babylon? When did that still small voice speak to Elijah? It's when he was alone in the cave. And it's so often in the isolation that God wants to speak to us, but we clutter up our lives with all kind of stuff. And we wonder, well, what can I hear from the Lord? Do you really want to know why? Because you keep cluttering up your life with all kind of stuff. Oh, I'm not going to say men. Oh, how many of us are just addicted to pornography as men? And let me tell you something. It'll kill you. It's going to cause everything in your path to die. Marriage, relationship, everything to die. To die. And please note that Jesus provided an exodus for us to depart out of the slavery of our sin. When we put our faith and trust in him, he breaks the power of that addiction in our lives and sets us free from the slavery and the bondage it has on us. Breaks it. That's why he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because he breaks the power of that addiction and whatever it is in our lives. So you can go and lay on somebody's couch and pay $100, $200 an hour. Only Jesus is going to break you free from any addiction, anything that's in your life. See, what happens is he gives us the power to say no. It's an addiction because you can't say no to it. Therefore, Jesus gives us the power to say, no, I'm not doing that today. I'm not going to those sites today. I'm not going to rush into some ungodly relationship today. I'm not running to the bottle today. Nope. And I'm not going to that drug. No. Not doing it. And that's the power of the cross. The power to be able to say, and this is why things become an addiction in our lives, because we can't say no to it. We keep doing it over and over and over again. Jesus gives us the power to say no. Look at verses 32 and 33. It says, but Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he had said. Now, while all of us, you know, we look at these things and we think that these apostles and we look at these disciples that they're some supernatural folks, they're just like us. All this is going on with Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Peter, James, and John were asleep. Have you ever fallen asleep while praying? Hey, they can relate to you. So they wake up and see all of this going on. And Peter says in verse 33, it is good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles or tents. And let's just stay here. This is great. This is so awesome. You know, we got Moses here. We got Elijah. Ooh, man, I've been wanting to ask Moses how that staff turned into that snake. I just want to ask, you know, this is so good. He's here. Moses, Elijah's here. Everybody's here. Let's just stay right here. And Peter's reaction reminds me of what Psalm 16, verse 11 says. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Peter didn't want to leave. Oh, I can relate to Peter sometimes. Things are going so well here at church that I just want to stay here. And build three tents and just hang out. Who wants to go back to the bills and the normal hassles of life? I just want to stay here and worship and study God's word. And many of you have told me these things going out the doors. You say, oh, Pastor Tony, let's just stay here. Won't you go to the next chapter? Go to the next set of verses. We just want you to teach us more. Because perhaps you know the drama and the mess that awaits you when you get home. Or the next day at the job. Look at verses 34 to 36. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Now, the father interrupts Peter and says that it's all about Jesus. You have heard the law through Moses. You have heard the prophets through Elijah. But now it's time to hear Jesus. This is the point of these verses. As wonderful as this experience was, Moses and Elijah appearing, Jesus glowing and, you know, all kind of stuff, all this stuff, as wonderful as this experience was, please keep in mind, experiences come and go. but the word of God remains the same. This is why we build our Christian walks off of the word and not experiences. Because experiences come and go, but God's word doesn't change. See, Peter understood this because when he wrote in 2 Peter 1 verses 12 to 21, he talks about this particular incident here and said that it was the word of God that is more important than experiences. Never forget this fact. Experiences come and go, but the word of God remains the same. Many of you came from churches where it's all about experience. Who ran around, who flipped, who flopped, who danced, who did all that kind of stuff. And then you leave and say, hey, how was church? Oh, church was good. It was a hot church. Many of you came from churches that like, oh, it was, the spirit was moving so much. We didn't even have time to get into the word. Really? Really? It was good. Well, okay. And others came from churches all about experience. Well, what did you learn? Well, oh, he was talking about something, but he was good. Experiences come and go. The word of God remains the same. We don't build our Christian walks off of experiences because they come and go. The experience you had this week, you may not have next week. And then you know what? Because you build your walk off of experiences, what happened is because you don't experience or felt the goosebumps or the warm fuzzy or your hair on top of your neck go up because you didn't feel that next week, you're like, spirit wasn't moving this week. Really? The spirit wasn't moving this week? You know, so you cannot build your walk off of experiences. It has to be on the word of God. That remains the same. That's the constant in our lives is the word of God. This is why we teach it from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, because the word of God is what's going to stabilize our lives. Experiences is like sand, shifty. 1 week, and the reason why you didn't feel the same thing you felt next week, maybe because you were sick. Maybe you had an allergy attack. You got the flu. Or something like that. But you're going to say the spirit wasn't moving. No, you were sick. But when we build our walk off of the word of God, that is what's going to stabilize our lives. To give us a firm foundation in our walks with the Lord is the word of God. And Peter tells us this. Peter was here. And he later came down off that mountain and wrote in 2 Peter. And said, look, experiences, they're great. They're fine. That was great. Jesus glowing, Moses and Elijah showing up, talking to him, and then the Father spoke from a cloud, said, this is my beloved Son, hear it. That was great. Peter said, that was great. They come and go. But the word of God is going to remain the same. What are you building your life on right now? How many goosebumps you feel when you come to church? So you pick a church based upon who made your hair roll up the back of your neck, how many goosebumps you felt when you left there. Oh, the spirit wasn't there. We had folks, spirit wasn't there. Really? Oh, nobody ran around. Nobody jumped up and swayed or did something weird to draw attention to themselves. So the spirit wasn't there. Really? The spirit of God works through the word of God. It's the word of God that changes our lives. Not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you leave. That's what it comes down to. Not how high you jump in here. We can all, you know, get some trampolines and jump up. We can all do that. But what's going to cause you to walk straight out there is this book here. This book here. Stop looking for some goosebumps. I was reading the word and God just really spoke and I just felt warm and tingling on the inside. The next morning, you're reading, nothing. Oh, God didn't speak to me today. Stop. Stop it. It's the word that remains the same. Not how many great experiences. And no matter how the word or the worship touched you, it's great. That's awesome. That's good. But they come and go. This is what's going to stabilize your life. the Word of God. Let me conclude with this. Have you been transformed by the Transformer? He transforms us by being in his presence. So with this in mind, are you a conformer or a transformer? God wants us to be transformers so we can change this world for Jesus Christ. We can't change this world if we're conformers. It is only when we're transformers can we see a difference in the world around us. And maybe you're not a transformer because you have a veil over your face and you don't want people to see that the glow is leaving or is gone. If this is you today, allow the presence of God to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ so you can shine his light on this dark world. This is needed because this dark world needs to see the light of Jesus Christ shining through us to them. Why? Why? To show them the way to Jesus so they can see their lives changed and they become fellow transformers changing this world for Jesus Christ. All you got to do is look at the news and see what's going on with this world. It's pretty dark. It's pretty dark. God wants us to shine the light of him, to reflect him to this world that we're living in. May God help us and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word that you have shared with us. Lord, there are many of your people here who are conformers. They've been squeezed into the world's mold. And Lord, I just pray that you have mercy upon us all. Help us to shine the light of Jesus Christ to this dark world. Transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for those who are here who have not surrendered their life to you. They never repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. May today be the day of salvation for them. And may they be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, shining your light in this dark world. Draw your people to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.